Good evening. Welcome to this WDIY news feature. Amid nationwide movements and calls for changes to policing and criminal justice, Pennsylvania has seen ongoing efforts to reform its own justice system. For WDIY News, Sarit Lashinsky reporting. To get the local perspective, lawmakers from the General Assembly convened a representative roundtable on criminal justice August 28th at Life Church at St. Paul's in Allentown. Joined by community activists, members of law enforcement, judicial representatives, and city residents to voice their perspectives. House Minority Whip Jordan Harris of Philadelphia joined local state representatives Michael Schlossberg and Peter Schweier to hear what the people of Allentown had to say. We start with Representative Schlossberg.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you all very much for joining us today, and I do want to say, first, not only do we appreciate your time, but we appreciate your time at the last second. I know that Pete and I have to work together pretty closely to pull this one off. We want to first and foremost thank our staff for putting this together, Nancy and Liz in particular. Thank the good folks at Life Church for hosting us, and thank our whip, Democratic Whip Jordan Harris from Philadelphia. Jordan and I were elected at the same time about 8 years ago, and in that time there hasn't been a piece of criminal justice reform that Jordan hasn't either been one of the prime sponsors of or involved with. Jordan, and I'm not blowing smoke, Jordan is genuinely a national leader on this front. He's appeared on national media, and we're really appreciative of him coming in to hear about some of our issues and challenges in the city of Allentown. I want to thank everybody that's here, but in particular note, we've got a really wide array of folks who are here. We have members of law enforcement that are here. We have members of the judicial branch. I saw Judge Damore. We have community activists, and it's a unique ability of Allentown to be in the same room together. We will ask some questions, but as I said, our goal, at least for Pete and I, is really to shut up and listen. We're here to hear your thoughts and get some ideas about further actions.
Democratic House Minority Whip Jordan Harris, representative of the 186th District in Philadelphia, begins the roundtable.
I think it's extremely important that leaders travel to the different parts of the Commonwealth to talk with our members and their constituents about issues that are important to you. Criminal justice reform, I believe, is a civil rights issue of our time. I believe if we fix the criminal justice system, we will fix a lot of the social ills that we have in our communities. The justice system, or the unjust system at times, in my view, has created, in many instances, a permanent underclass of people who find themselves ineligible for education, ineligible for housing, and ineligible to move their lives along with regards to how they become gainfully employed. If we want to have an equitable society, that must start with us fixing our justice system. Now, that doesn't mean that if you commit a crime, that if you're shooting up our communities, that if you're harming our children, that you shouldn't be removed. You should. But what we also need to remember, in my view, is that if a person has served their time, there has to be a way for them to get back into society. Anything else is turning them not from taxpayer, but just to a lifelong tax burden. And it just doesn't affect them. It affects their children, and quite honestly, their children's children. I can tell you stories of visiting prisons here in the Commonwealth where a father and a son are in the same prison, where a father and a son is in the same prison, and the father is hoping that his son doesn't end up in that same situation. It becomes generational. So if we do this the right way, I believe we can break the generational cycle of incarceration that typically leads to a generational cycle of poverty. So I appreciate you all being here. I'm so grateful to Mike, who is our Northeast Delegation Chair, and to my good friend Pete Schweier for having me here in the district to talk about these issues. And like they said, you know, I want to hear, I could share things that we're doing, but I want to hear from you on how we can better serve you in Harrisburg as we tackle this issue that I believe is of the utmost importance to all of us. I appreciate you having me.
Representative Peter Schweier of the 22nd District here in Allentown reminds everyone how uncomfortable these conversations can be and how common they are.
Very quickly, folks, because we're all friends in this room. We all know each other well, and we have these conversations amongst ourselves regularly. I mean, Danny, how long have we had this conversation? How many times have you and Glenn had conversations through the years? How many times, Hassan, have you and Jess? We've all had many of these conversations. One of the unique challenges that we have in Harrisburg with the state legislature is that there is a really unfortunate and really inappropriate perspective that criminal justice reform and issues surrounding crime are only a Philadelphia problem. Now, you'll get a lot of my colleagues that also say it's a Philadelphia or Harrisburg problem because they see it because they're driving to and from the Capitol. But outside of that,
there is not a recognition that the state, which is the fifth most populous state in the entire United States, has community concerns that are broader than those that are just simply happening in South Philly, in West Philly, North Philly. They're broader than conversations that are just happening in parts of Pittsburgh and Harrisburg. They might get the focus, but we all know this, everybody here in Allentown knows this, we're the third largest city in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the third largest city and the fifth largest state in the United States, and we're growing. And in conversations like this, but we all talk, but we need your help to let our colleagues across Pennsylvania know who are really driving major conversations when it comes to economic development, when it comes to education equity, and when it comes to criminal justice reform, police reform, that the conversations are bigger than just what's happening in Philadelphia and a little bit what's happening in Harrisburg. And that's why it's so very important. Jordan, I appreciate you coming here. Jordan's no stranger to Allentown. Mike and Jordan may have come in together. The reason why I can't stand either of them is that they both have more seniority and they're both younger than me. So that's all right. But Jordan is no stranger to Allentown. Jordan's been up here a bunch of times. We're all friends. Jordan was head of Legislative Black Caucus when the conversation first started happening to let people that look like Mike and I join Black Caucus. He's always been an inclusive leader. He's been somebody who I've developed not only a great deal of admiration for, but I call a friend. And I'm just really thankful that he's here to listen to what's happening here in Allentown as one of our important cultural, educational, and economic centers of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So with that, Jordan, again, I appreciate you. Welcome to the 22nd Legislative District. Welcome to my hometown, the great city of Allentown.
The first resident to speak was Pastor Daniel Blount of the historically black Union Baptist Church at 6th and Chew Streets in Allentown.
State level, city level, whatever level, when it comes to the judicial system, something has to be done. Because I think that's the root problem of everything that's going on. You know, because we fall under the radar when it comes to that, because people don't care about those who've been incarcerated, done their time, did their probation, did their parole, and they still aren't treated like they're a human being. They're still on an island by themselves. Because everybody who goes, I've heard so many stories, to be honest, I did 8 years, 9 months for a crime that I knew I didn't commit. But nevertheless, I did 8 years and 9 months, and I came out, but I came out with tenacity to do something about it. But the reality, most people don't have it. They don't have the drive to work as hard as I did to get to where I am. But I think if we don't change the culture of the judicial system, nothing's going to change. I think that's one of the root problems for the minority. And if that doesn't change, we'll always be where we are because of the judicial system putting us there. We can say what we want to say. You did it. No. It was subscribed for us. That's the reality. That's what I believe. With that being said, I give my time to someone else.
Thanks, Dan.
The following commentary came from Jessica Lee Ortiz, founder of the Ortiz Arc Foundation.
I don't need a mic. One of the biggest things that I see is the laws. Jessica Ortiz.
She needs no introduction, but you know.
Crime of necessity, crime of situation and circumstance. I'm going to use my husband, for instance. He used to be a drug dealer. Some people get taught, you go to school, you go to college, and you graduate, you get a degree. He was taught, when you want to make money and earn a living, this is the first step on how to go. They put him on the streets of New York. And that's all he knew. And that's not a life he got to choose to say, I want. So then when people like him are arrested, you have to ask, why was he in this situation before putting this big title of felon on them that stays with them. And then when they do their time and get degrees, like my friend right here, and change their society, when is enough to say, okay, now they're a reformed person and we're going to allow them back? We have how many women and mothers here stealing in the grocery stores to eat and do things? When do we change to say crimes of need or situation and decriminalizing some of them things and helping these individuals along their path in life? That's one of the biggest things that I get passionate about, because most of the people that I grew up around or that we've all been charged on, it's not a crime. I personally put a girl in a coma at 12 years old because I was raped and sexually molested and frustrated. So the first person that I could lash out on, that's who it was. When I got arrested as an adult, those charges were the first thing they said I was. They didn't say she was molested or raped or this or that. They said she was that girl, troublemaker, who put somebody in a coma. And I was treated as an adult with all those points. They drug them up for one offense that and then I had to live with that. So how do we begin to repair those things in the society? We have to start there and decriminalizing some of the things that are happening to our people. They're not crimes that they said, I woke up today and I'm gonna do this. It's a necessity and their lifestyle. If an animal is in the jungle, he's going to eat what's in the wild. So if you treat us like animals, we have to behave as if we're in the wild.
Representative Michael Schlossberg of the 132nd District provided this comment.
One thing I'd add to that, thank you very much, is I think one of the things we have to do legislatively is change our drug laws. I really do. I think one, if the police are in it, I get exactly what you're saying, but these guys have to enforce the laws we write. So, and if they don't, they catch heck for it. But I do agree with you. I think the laws that we have around marijuana are hugely problematic and take up a lot of time and energy, because I can think of many other things, I'm sure these guys could too, that we would rather have them spend their time with than dealing with a substance that is less addictive and less powerful than alcohol or painkillers.
Minority Whip Jordan Harris previews what legislatively is happening in Harrisburg.
So I'll talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's actually moving in Harrisburg that kind of addresses some of your issues with drug laws, as well as police, as well as the criminal justice stuff. So, you know, the first thing is, for me, on criminal justice, I think we have to change how we see our justice system, right? And the people that are interacting with the system. So for me, it's a mind shift of prison being for folks who are dangerous in our communities and not just folks we're mad at. And here's what I mean by that. When you look at how the law, in many instances, is currently set up, you know, we are removing people and putting them in prison who are not an actual danger to our society. They had a bad day. They were victims of their circumstance, but they're not necessarily bad people, and they do not possess or present to be a danger to our society. If you go back to the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, the whole mindset of lock them up and, you know, being tough on crime, those laws, it was like a pendulum that swung all the way to the other side. So it's basically we're just removing any and everybody from our society who's done anything wrong. So that guy with that dime or nickel bag of weed, that person is now going to prison for possession instead of a ticket, right? Now we've kind of moved where how we think about those things. The problem is those folks still have the stain of the 80s and 90s and early 2000s on their record. So the first thing is we just have to change our mindsets on how we see our criminal justice system. For me, the people who should be incarcerated are those who are killing folks, molesting, raping, and bringing harm to others. For me, that's that. When you look at the almost 49,000 people that we have incarcerated right now, those are the folks, the only folks that I think should be in that system, right? So what are we doing? Well, some of the things that we're doing is several things. One, we're dealing with the criminal record piece, understanding that for me, it's an employment piece. It's about jobs. There are a lot of folks who cannot become gainfully employed because of stuff they did 10, 15 years ago. 2018, myself, Representative Cheryl DeLozier, passed the Clean Slate Act. The Clean Slate Act, first of its kind in the nation, takes those who have misdemeanor twos and threes that are of a nonviolent nature and provides a process where they can automatically get their record sealed. So they don't even have to go to court. As long as they pay the court costs and restitution, those things are automatically sealed on the record. If you have a misdemeanor one, you have to go to court, but there's a process by which your record can be sealed from a judge. So that's the Clean Slate Act.
We'll return with more from Minority Whip Jordan Harris after these important messages.
Are you interested in inspiring and informing future generations through WDIY's programming? A gift through your will, retirement plan, or estate plan is a wonderful legacy to leave to those that will need a trusted place to hear what's going on in the world. For information about naming WDIY as a beneficiary, please call 610-694-8100 or visit wdiy.org/legacy.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Pocono Cheesecake Factory, now offering curbside pickup of a variety of cheesecake, cookies, pastries, and gourmet treats. For 35 years, helping schools, clubs, and other nonprofit organizations throughout the Lehigh Valley and Northeast Pennsylvania achieve their fundraising goals. The Pocono Cheesecake Factory, since 1985, love at first bite. For more information, PoconoCheesecake.com.
We now return to Minority Whip Jordan Harris discussing pending legislation.
There's a whole package of 19 other bills that we're trying to get done. The two most important that we're working on is one, a use of force bill that deals with how we do use of force in Pennsylvania and what the use of force policy should be for the whole state of Pennsylvania. That's one. The second is around Act 111. In Pennsylvania, police and fire cannot strike. Because they cannot strike, they are part of Act 111, which is around arbitration. So basically, if you get fired as a police officer, right, the police department can say you did X, Y, and Z and we're firing you. You can grieve that firing through the arbitration process. And whatever the arbitrator says is the final law. So the police chief can fire you. The arbitrator gives you your job back, you get your job back. And you get back pay, depending on the arbitrator. We find this to be a huge problem, not just in Philadelphia, but across Pennsylvania, where police chiefs know they have problematic officers, but cannot get rid of those officers because the arbitration process protects them. Now, I'm all about organized labor. I'm an organized labor guy. I support organized labor. But a police officer has a gun and a badge. They can take your freedom and they can take your life. If the department has an issue with that person being on and they have reasonable evidence, then an arbitrator who's not elected, who's not, who has no jurisdiction, they should not be able to put this police officer back on. So those are the two bills that we're working on, use of force and Act 111. So use of force is Representative Ed Gainey and Representative Summer Lee. Act 111 is Representative Donald Bullock. So that's kind of a quick overview of some of the bills that are moving, that are either done or moving in Harrisburg that have to do with policing and some of the stuff in criminal justice.
Community activist Dr. Hassan Botts, executive director of Promise Neighborhoods of the Lehigh Valley, provided this perspective.
Thank you, Representative Harris, for coming back to Allentown. And thank you guys for bringing him back and for having us. I wanted to just, I'm glad that you brought that up, right? Because when we look at on a state level, there are so many things that have happened and that are happening. I would say I have more relationships with active things that are going on at the state level that you can just enumerate them. You can say, this is happening, the governor's doing this, the attorney general's doing this. The Auditor General is writing this report. So we need some of those things at the local level where the same thing is happening with civilians in terms of powers being relinquished from criminal justice system. When we talk about the criminal justice system, we're not just talking about the police department. We're talking about the entire system. So to give you an example, I work with groups that we're allowed to go into the prisons and make sure that people in solitary confinement are treated properly and things like that. Like there are powers that civilians have at the state level. Mm-hmm. We don't have any of that on the local. We don't have those settings, we have relationships, but what we don't have, and you have them in Philadelphia, right? So Philadelphia has its own set of problems, but you also have a sense where the power has been relinquished from the institutions and the people have power. Those are the things that we need at the local level. They need to hyper-localize where there are boards, where there are commissions, where there's a true criminal justice reform groups that are moving forward, policies, where you can sit down and we can say, these are the things we've done in Allentown. We can name all, just as you did, all of the policies, all of the coalitions that have power that are moving and making changes in the city. And at this point, we can't do that. So can you guys talk a little bit about how we can get there? Because Harrisburg's not perfect, but there are about 20 things that are happening in Harrisburg. Every day something's coming around. I mean that's unheard of.
Representative Peter Schweier responds.
Hassan, I appreciate that question. Let me just piggyback real quick before we go there on some of the things that Jordan said. The two bills that were passed into law unanimously. And again, I think that's an important piece of the conversation here. There was no pushback from anybody, including, we have, six or seven colleagues that were at one point in time members of law enforcement mm-hmm. themselves.
And he even endorsed those two,
yeah,
but they were easy.
They were easy, Mike, and you're right, but we needed to get some wins.
Yes,
and we got some wins, and that's a good thing. Some of the other things that are being talked about, not only here, but from some of our other colleagues, they're not going to be easy wins. Mm. And so I think everybody in the room certainly knows Mike and I well enough to know that we never tell somebody that we're going to be able to do something quickly. We can promise people that we're working on things and trying to move the ball forward, but we're never going to be the kind of folks that say things are going to happen. Now, Jordan's on the front line of these things in Harrisburg. Mike and I are taking a lot of our cues from our leadership, but I just wanted to point that out. I don't want anybody leaving here and thinking that in the next month or two, everything that we're hoping to get accomplished is going to. There's actually two bills that came over from the Senate that we still haven't run yet, and I still don't understand why that hasn't happened yet, but that would move the ball forward. Those seem like easier lifts for us too. But Hassan, to your question about why Harrisburg is moving the ball forward and in other communities are down. Frankly, a lot of it is capacity. It's a capacity issue. You have 203 members of the House. Each of us have anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 staff members who work for us and who are able to come together, and we have a free-flowing exchange of ideas. I mean, you know, I was on city council for 6 years. I was president of city council. You meet twice a month, a couple hours. Everybody has full-time jobs, and they go off and they're doing their thing. I really think there's a structural problem with the way that we handle government where, and COVID really slowed this down for us, to be honest with you. Us not being together in Harrisburg slowed down some of our momentum on some of this stuff. I find that one of the things, and then I'm just trying to get to your question here, your specific one. I find one of the things that's so very helpful about this job is that sense of camaraderie. I mean, Jordan and I come from two cities 100 miles away. We have two very different backgrounds. Jordan, you went to Millersville, I went to Penn State. Like, we didn't even go to the same colleges or anything else. We had a shared interest in Democratic politics, and we met in Harrisburg, and now we're able to work and get along and try to get stuff accomplished. That ability to come together in a spot and have debates and conversations, some of them are on the floor of the House in very formal settings, some of them are in the hallway, some of them are in the bathroom. Some of them are on when you're out just getting a cup of coffee.
That's pretty weird. I'm trying to go to the bathroom.
Well, then stop talking to me every time we're in there together, Jordan. Come on now, I'm talking about you. But seriously, that proximity and that sort of, like, Harrisburg was created to foster conversations between different people from different parts of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Allentown resident Jose Rivera speaks from experience about the negative impact of a lack of learning opportunities in the Pennsylvania criminal justice system.
Please, sir.
My name is Jose Rivera. I'm a product of the prison system. The reason I say this because I've been there when it was named penitentiary, so I'm grateful for the penitentiary, until it went to a SCI, to now where it no longer exists. Mm-hmm. You name them institutions, but there's no type of learning in there. Once the DOC got defunded, there was no more trades, no more real schooling up in there. It hurt us. But you want to blame the person coming out of jail that we need change when we weren't given an opportunity to change. If it wasn't for Wolf putting the Second Chance Pell Grant up in there, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I graduated my community college. I'm on my way to a four-year college.
Congratulations.
But I'm one of the few people that tried. But there's so many people up in there that want an opportunity to learn something, and there's nothing to learn. You put them up in there, you stick them in an ESOL class, or you stick them nowhere. Or you tell them they have to take a program, they're doing 10 years, they gotta wait 2 years before they're going home to take a program, but you're not giving them no opportunity to do anything else. It's just a big warehouse, they're sitting there doing nothing. Okay. And we get blamed for the failure, but the failure is the system that they were put in. I was there when the penitentiaries ran, when they were self-sustained, when they grew their own food, we did everything ourselves, all that was taken away. When we did that, we learned something. Taking that away, we just sit there. You complain about the fights and the problems in the state prisons? That's brought because there's boredom. There's nothing to do up in there, and anything ticks us off. I sat here, and this kind of pisses me off, to be honest. Because I sat there, and the biggest disconnect is we're given so many promises while we sit up there. There's this for you to do, there's this to do that. And we come home, and there's nothing. There's nothing. I'm where I'm at today because of the people who I surround myself with right now. I came home from doing a long stint. First visit was my community college. My second visit was Dr. Hassan Batson, Promise Maker. I've met all these people who sit around me today, and those who know me or who knew of me, I made a big change. But I still see a failure out there in society. We're not given these chances. We're told of all these chances. I live in a recovery house. I have no opportunity to get a better house. I have no opportunity to get a better job. And I'm not asking anybody to give me. I'm going to school. I'm learning. And I will continue to learn. But as I sit here and I hear this and I hear that, it's like, we're not the problem. The system is the problem. When do you fix the system? I got locked up on a minor drug charge in my first case. Did it make me better? I sat and waited for it. It made me worse. I got locked up around worse people. All I did was find more clientele and bigger connections.
Sure.
I learned backwards. When are we going to learn forward? When are we going to fix it and stop talking about fixing it? Because you took the name institution and there's no learning, but you fund them like they are an institution. And they're doing nothing for our people.
Providing the law and order perspective, Judge Douglas Reichley of the Court of Common Pleas and Allentown Police Chief Glenn Granitz Jr. had this to say.
Right now, we're at the lowest level of prison population in 20 years. Part of it because we were making exert efforts through the DA's office, through the PD's office, throughout probation, to have people released who were close to their minimums or had nonviolent offenses who could be released so they weren't in the facility. we're starting for the first time in our history here in Lehigh County a drug treatment court, starting next month. And County Executive Armstrong was a big supporter of that. So we're hoping to be able to keep people out of jail for the substance abuse problems. It's important that we have a dialogue, and as much as you're facing severe problems at the state level, I would encourage you to reach out to the trial judges throughout Pennsylvania so you get a real world sense of anything that's going to be proposed and how it will impact us.
Chief, did you want to say, was there anything you wanted to say?
I appreciate that, Mike. Thank you. And Pete and Mike, thank you for having us and including us. I don't want to turn it back to anyone. Representative Harris, thanks for coming up. I just want to say that today was kind of a breath of fresh air for me, the last hour or so. There's been a lot of negativity, and rightfully so, in many cases. And a lot of the people in this room are people that I consider friends that I've known for a long time. People that we text and call, and I think the things that I'm hearing are exactly the things that we've been talking about. When Phoebe talked about busing our kids home from school, I want to run over and hug Phoebe because I've been talking about that for 10 years. That's a basic thing that we can work towards doing that could really set our kids apart, and quite frankly, actually just bring our kids up to a par that other school districts have and make a lot of sense. So on behalf of myself, Officer Newsom, and Assistant Chief Roca here, you know, you got three guys who grew up in and around Allentown. Are still here. He put it right. Kids from Allen High School walk past my house every day.
Yep.
I've never had a problem. And this is what I came for, is working with Judge Reichle and Judge DeMauro, who included us in their drug court talks. And the one thing I will ask of you, Representative Harris and Mike and Pete, is I'm on the commission with Josh Shapiro and Daniel Outlaw, and there's nothing that I've seen come from the state that I don't agree with 100% so far.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and I'll agree with Hassan. Ironically, Hassan and I agree on a lot. I don't know. Many people would think that, but we often do.
Oh, no.
I like where that's coming, because it sets that even bar playing field. I like where this conversation's going. And the one thing I would ask of you all is at some point, in one of these reform measures, is give us, as a community, as the county, it doesn't have to be Allentown specific, but give us some ability to work, maybe with higher ed, there's some community engagement center out there ideas where we can look at the stats. I can use crime stats all day long. That's no problem. That's my job. But what I want to look at is what are the things that we're trying to do? What are the things that Hassan's doing? What are the things that Jessica's doing? What do those stats do? Where should we put more funding? Where should we put more emphasis? And how do we get that from a respected party that everyone can kind of say, yeah, that data makes sense? Because I think it needs to be very much data-driven.
Okay.
Thank you again. Got it.
Thank you.
Before the roundtable wrapped up, Pastor Daniel Blount brought up an important point about mental health and the homeless community.
The homelessness, that's the problem here.
Yep, there is.
Mental health, Mike, you know all about
it. Intimately.
So when I go down to Tent City with all these people, and they're into what they're into, I mean, it's a community all by itself, with no one to support them.
Jordan's about a half a mile south of us.
You know, and I know they've been offered. Some of them have been offered help and they refuse.
Down. Yes.
But the reality is that's a mental problem. Who wants to stay outside during the winter? They were asking for food. They're asking for just everything, the necessities just to live. I was at a meeting that they had yesterday. I was just sharing that with Dr. Betts on 6th Street. It's something that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's enough letting them go as it is, you know, not caring about them. And that's the way they feel. Like nobody cares, except a certain few groups that support them. I think it's time that not the police, but the mental health people get down there and try to help those folks. I mean, we feed them every day, but they need more than that. They need some medical attention, as well as drug addiction.
As we have just heard, the citizens of Allentown have described what needs to be done on the local level and the state level to change the criminal justice system for the better. Now is the time for all stakeholders to take the next step for the good of the community. For WDIY News, I'm Sarit Lashinsky.